Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And let your children be truly blessed by the words that come out of your mouth. In Jesus' name. Please take your seats in God's presence and you are welcome. In Jesus' name. Now, you're welcome and God bless you. To those here on site and those joining us on all our social media platforms, you're welcome and you are blessed. Amen. Now, I want us to read from Colossians chapter 2. I want to try to touch on something, possibly dovetail into the legal position of our redemption in Christ. Please understand that there are two aspects of our redemption. Number one is the legal positioning and the operational position of our redemption in Christ. Hallelujah. So I want us to read Colossians 2. I will try to be as fast as I can so that we can get the full dose. Now I'll be reading from, peradventure we can all read together from New King James Version. So let's edit what we have on the screen to New King James. All right. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those that are in Laodicea. And as for many that have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Now, please hold on. Let's stop here. Now, there's a particular requirement that Paul gave us. And I want you to pay attention. This book of Colossians was written by Paul. Paul said that your heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches. Now, there is something Paul refers to as all riches. Now, if something is referred to as all, that means there is a measure. He was trying to describe measure. It's just like when you are trying to make a purchase at the food store and you are trying to buy a particular measure of a particular food item. Alright? So, Paul refers to this as what? All. He said, attaining to all riches. That means that there are some riches. Hallelujah. That means that a person may attain to some riches, but he may not attain to all riches. Are you with me? And I want you to please write that down. That you may be in Christ, but may not attain to all riches. You may attain to some, a measure. You may attain to the basic revelation of the riches of Christ. But you may not attain to all riches. The full benefit comes to those whose hearts, Paul tells us, are knit in love. That means that as believers, there are certain things you will not attain to in Christ if you don't understand the corporate community lifestyle of the church. Please write that down. There are certain things about your destiny and your future as a Christian that you will not attain to if you do not understand the corporate, your place in the corporate existence of the church. So, Paul said that being knit together in love, the word together there suggests something that is more than one. That means there are a group of people. Are we together? Are you still with me? It says we are a group of people. And if we do not begin to walk in genuine love towards each other and stop assuming that, oh, somebody is nice to me because of something he wants to collect from me, or you are not learning love the way the world is teaching us, that everybody who is trying to ask you out or trying to get married to you or who is trying to be nice to you is doing it because they later want to swindle you. So there is a definition of love that God is giving to us. And as this is the most abused word, all right? Everybody, including the one who has failed at it, wants to teach you about love. If you go online, those who have experienced divorce want to tell you how to keep your marriage. I'm sure you know some of them on Instagram. They have live Instagram live sessions, and they have Facebook live sessions, and they want to tell you how to make your marriage work, even though they failed within the first 1 year. So Paul says that the requirement of attaining to all riches of full assurance, and I want you to please understand what we are saying here. Paul is saying that if we are not knit together in love, if you are a lone ranger as a believer, there are certain aspects of your destiny you will never attain to, even if you pray 24 hours every day. That's the meaning of this scripture. Look at it, it's in your Bible. It said, being knit together in love and attaining. Tell your neighbor, attaining. Do you know what it means to attain to something? What does it mean to attain? What's another word for attain? Coming into. What other word do we have? Huh? Build. To grow. Is that really the word? To reach. To become. To lay hold. Attaining. To lay hold. To become. That means if we are not knit in love towards ourselves. I mean, way back, you know, growing up as a Christian, when I was living in the north, if a person came, was traveling to my state, I don't know if some of you have experienced this before, and they came and met us as the last person in church, and they say, oh, I'm a member of this church from Lagos, I was traveling and I got stranded, we'll just take them inside. Who knows that experience? So Paul said, now, did you realize that that period, there was a way the church was growing? Even the, in quotes, so-called Orthodox churches, Anglicans, Catholics, Methodists, all the churches were full. Even those that were not really Christian got a dose of it. The moment you put Christ on your signboard. Because the requirement for church life was not anointing, it was love. Hallelujah. Come on, are you here? So we are not trying to love because we want to form a cult. We need to attain to love because Paul says that if we don't, there are certain aspects of your destiny that he called all riches that we will not attain to. Tell your neighbor, I need to love you. And you need to love me too. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with all riches. So you got to love her, love him. And it's about Jesus. It's about what Christ has done. This scripture is telling us that regardless of the fact that Christ has made provision for certain things, if I do not choose love as a decision, it's not, maybe I just like her, she's so nice. No! They don't need to qualify for it. If they qualify for it, it's not love. Hallelujah. He said, attending to all riches of full assurance of understanding. Look at what Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about the all riches of full assurance. Have you seen people that went through a particular challenge and they started asking things like, is God real? Have you ever gone through a situation in your life and then you just began to wonder, so what if heaven and hell is? Who has thought about that before? Now raise your hand if you've thought. I've thought about it. I saw some of you are fasting and still lying. Talk to me. You've thought about it before, like okay, who has gone to heaven and come back? Who has gone to hell and come? Everything is, they just say you should believe. So the reason why you remained a Christian was because it won't be good though. You now backslide, you now die. You now find Jesus waiting, say, Hey, see my life. And I was a Christian, no. But you remember the day you decided, let me, my philosophy teacher taught me, He said, the religion of this world should be love. Not Christianity or Islam. And it makes perfect sense. Are we together? It makes perfect sense because that's the only thing we can verify. There's another religion that says when you die, you know, for one God, they promise you lots of women. Thousands of women, hallelujah. That's why some people converted. Now, why didn't they promise the women thousands of men? Huh? And you should have asked too, because if you didn't ask, you stated. And you should have asked that. Is it like, say the woman is a property of the man? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. You see, that's the problem. The village, the family demons, the village people are still on your matter. You don't acquire a wife. Your bride price is not to prove that you have bought a wife. You are giving a gift that is costly, because depending on where you are from, if you are from Anambra or some other areas, the bill could be different. Even though they say they are Christian, but they're still giving a bill of 1.5. Hallelujah. If you are from Anambra, hallelujah. So they still ask you to pay. Because the Lord, we should not ask the Lord for anything that does not cost us something. The evil people are practicing it. Do you love her? Would you like to show us a gesture of how you love this woman? Are you here now? So for those of you paying by price for your husband, you know, I saw something online this morning about a lady who paid the bride price on herself because she loves the guy. It's very obvious she has no pastor and she will be at the mercy of that man. Paul talks about when our hearts are knit in love, we come to full assurance. We come to all riches of the full assurance of what? That means there's a level of understanding. That if your understanding is defective, you stop coming to church because you have problem. People, there's no way to say, oh, this person has backslided. There's no way to say, oh, this person is a sinner. The moment it affects your corporate life as a Christian, we know. When a person says, oh, I'll be praying to God in my room, in my house. Yes, God can hear you. But Paul said, our hearts must be knit together in love. Question, when you're in your house, who is your heart knit together in love with? You're in love with yourself. What Jesus came to deliver us from was from ourselves. I said, what Jesus came to deliver us from was from who? From ourselves. Not even the devil. He said the full assurance of knowledge, full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. So what does God really want us to understand about him? The mystery of God and of Christ. Are we together? Are you still here? I say, what is it that Paul is telling us here that God wants us to understand? The mystery of what? Look at your screen. The mystery of what? Both of the Father and of who? Which means that you cannot simply understand God by picking the Bible. Hallelujah. Just because you read philosophy and you had a major in Hebrew language, and your minor degree was in classical Greek, does not translate. You may interpret the thing and find yourself in hell. Like some religion read the Bible and said, when Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord raise unto you, they said it was their prophet. Every religion mimicking Christ. Christ is the only one standing on his own. Now the other religions have ganged up against Christianity. We are all serving the same God. It's just the way we serve him that differs. Love is all that matters. Hallelujah. Love is not all that matters. Because our definition of love is different. What is Paul telling us here? That there's a mystery of God. That the concept of God is a mystery. It needs to be explained to you. And that's why you need the Bible. Open it and read. I said the concept of God needs to be what? Needs to be explained because it's a mystery. If you listen to 10 people from the 10 different religions, all of them will make sense. Hello? And some of them what? Have you ever listened to somebody who came to complain about somebody and the report sounded so right? You felt like giving a verdict until you heard the other person. Because everybody will speak of his own righteousness. Nobody will come out and say, actually she's right. No. Everybody is looking for loopholes. So the mystery of God, the fatherhood of God, the revelation of Christ needs to be unveiled. Which is why Paul began to speak to us about being knit together in love. Because love is the strongest atmosphere where God can reveal himself. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? The scripture says in verse 3 that it is in Christ that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Now, can you look at that verse in verse 3 and can you find the word hidden there? Can you find the word hidden? Come on, are you here? I said, can you find the word hidden? That word hidden suggests that in Christ, some things are kept. And only when you have the heart of a servant and you begin to search out these things. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But what? The honor of kings to search them out. I am telling you that as a Christian, certain things about Christ will not fall on your plate. Those things are hidden. Come on, say hidden. They are hidden. If you choose to only listen to those popular aspects of the gospel that is easy to understand, there are many aspects of your destiny that will be kept from you. Because the moment Christ is being revealed, you are discovering more of your own eternal purpose. You are discovering more of your own eternal destiny, your ministry. While you are seeking out for more of God, the revelation of God, you will know who your husband is. While trying to find more of Christ, your flesh is giving way to immortality. And you are discovering your assignment. You are discovering, you are having a near 100% perfect mark on times and seasons. Yes, certain things may be in the will of God for you, but they may not be in the perfect timing. And most of our sorrows come when we try to make things happen before their time. Are you here now? Now, the greatest mistake you can assume, even after being in Christ for a long time, is to think this thing I'm saying is simple. It's simple but not simplistic. Which means that you can stumble at it. Despite the fact that it's written in English. Look at that scripture again. The Bible says, in whom are hidden. How many treasures? How many? So that means that it is only in my pursuit of God that the only way to only my pursuit of God will I be blessed with what the Lord calls treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. That one of the ways I can monitor my spiritual progress is to assess the level of wisdom that the Lord is bringing to me. I can monitor my progress when I weigh the depth of what God is revealing to me. Please, I'm not talking about your life or what's going on. I'm talking about the depth of revelation of Christ. When God begins to say to you, I want to reveal my son to you. And when you open the scriptures and you begin to find that there are certain things that nobody is talking about, but is there. And the Lord is beginning to explain those things to you. So you can monitor your progress by the depth of revelation. Your progress in the Lord. By the kind of revelation that the Lord brings to you. The kind of wisdom. The treasures of knowledge. Look at what God refers to as treasures, not money. Money, he didn't mention money. So to follow Jesus because you are hoping for a better life is a faulty reason. That reason cannot stand. When eventually you make it in life, your faith will be destroyed Because now there's nothing to hope for again. Your faith was placed on the premise that you will get blessed. Now, does God want you to be blessed? But God said, don't follow me because of that. Follow me because you found a reason. A reason, a treasure has been released to you. A treasure that gives to you understanding, the knowledge of God. A treasure that reveals to you the wisdom of God's ways. Why God says men should be married to women. That it should be Steve and Mary, not Steve and Barry. That is the reason. That even when you change, try to initiate a change in your gender because you have the money, there are what we call gender markers. Everybody has it. Gender markers. Certain things that make you male and certain things that make you female, trying to alter it or change it will not take away certain things. Because even for those who are transitioning from women to men, I saw somebody, well, not somebody, I saw it online, a series of pictures of men who became women, and the caption was, oh, see how these beautiful transitioned women are. And when I started looking at the pictures, I could not actually tell that they were formerly men. May the Lord give us understanding. So, in the days to come, before we join you, maybe anything from 5 years from now or 10, will we ask you, are you originally man or woman? Because the prince of this world has come. We need to ask you. In fact, if we have not known you before, as a man, we will conduct an investigation, get a lawyer for the church, and you will pay. Because that business is not free. We will pay because we need to find out if Sister Martha was originally Sister Martha or was she Brother Matthews. So we need to be sure. Or Marcus. Aha, bring your secondary school picture. Bring your picture from secondary school, university. We just want to peruse and have an idea who you really are. Instead of praying, bring the picture. We don't waste our time. Bring the picture. Let's see. The Bible says treasures of wisdom are hidden. So when I'm trusting God for revelation about a particular area of my life, Lord, the next 5 years of my life, what should I be focusing on? I'm trusting the Lord. So that revelation, that door of revelation will be opened when I begin to seek the Lord in that respect. There are people that are expecting the Lord to just say some things without them making a formal request. The Lord is telling us that one of the spiritual principles of progress is the desire to search, your desire to make a request. Lord, I want to be married so that I can fulfill my ministry. Lord, I want to know if it's in your will for me to leave the country next year. Don't wait for your emotions to be high before you start pushing your husband or your wife into what will become very painful. Many times the Lord says no to us, not because of the next 5 years, but the next 10 years. So something may be beautiful now, but in the next 10 years may not really speak of wisdom. Now, verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone deceive you with what? Persuasive words. Look at Satan's strategy for derailing Christians. What does he use? Persuasion. It brings forth a strong argument. If someone decides to be homosexual or transgender, how does it affect you? They say it's not affecting me. Okay. Is salvation by faith or by gender? You say faith. So this transitioning, how does it affect you? You say no. Does it affect Jesus? You say no. Okay. So they begin to bring forth sound arguments. If you are, and that is why before you get to that junction, you must begin a consistent journey of seeking the Lord. Don't wait till you begin to meet with people who come from different places and they are looking at you as if you are old school, as if your knowledge is 1970. The world has moved away from these things. What has moved away? They bring up sound argument. If you have not been a seeker, a legend of the seeker, if you have not been a seeker, seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. The scripture said, seek the Lord while he may be found, suggesting that there is a time you will seek him and you will not find him. Come on, are you here? What is Satan's strategy in verse 4? Persuasive words. If you go into a relationship because of persuasion, you have made a mistake already. Come on, are you here? If you give him because he talked, and you now said, okay, let me give him a chance, you are making a very big mistake. There are markers. You see, there are some things I wish I could put in a book, but there are things I observed over time. They are not really things you can just open the Bible like that and see, you know, white and black. But the moment I see that you are going into something and it's because, oh, you have been pestering me for 1.5 years. For whatever reason you like to be pestered, for whatever reason that you have chosen to be pestered for over a year and you finally gave in. Listen to me. If you gave in because you just get over it, or because you are bored, because there are people that are going into relationships because they are bored, the result can be... You are looking at me like I'm lying. I said some people go into a relationship because they are bored. Nothing's really happening. Just need someone to be calling you, going out. Somebody, you gave the responsibility for your happiness to another person. If you are not happy as a single woman, marriage will not change it. You got to deal with it, brother. Watch out for persuasive words. Satan will never come to you and say, don't believe. He will only say, consider this other one. Look at this other product. This toothpaste, they are both red in color. But the only thing is just the spelling. One is Pepsi, one is Coca-Cola, but it's the same thing. Persuasive words. Sound argument. And Paul wants us in scripture to stay away from what? Those kind of contentious arguments. It's not your job to argue with anybody trying to convince them that Jesus is the way. Like, whichever way, you will accept Christ, whether in heaven or when you die. So when we share the gospel with people, it's because we love them. Paul says that in Christ is hidden, not in motivational books. Come on, are you here now? Not in conferences. Come on, say in Christ. Come on, say in Christ. Are hidden all treasures. God calls them treasures. Valuable information given to you that puts you at an advantage. Valuable information. Some God brings somebody along your path, and even though he's wearing one shirt, he only has one shirt and a knicker, not even a trouser, a knicker. And he says, I feel the Lord is bringing me along your path. But because the Lord has bequeathed to you these treasures of wisdom, you have to say, you saw the future. Saw the future. And people can't really explain to anybody why he's the one. Except that the Lord has bequeathed to you a measure of understanding. The scripture says in verse 4, put on verse 4 again. It says, verse 3. It said, in whom are hidden all the treasures, every knowledge, every information, every wisdom that you need for your life till the end of your day, they are in Christ. The moment you begin to give in to persuasive words, you begin to give in to logic, you begin to give in to popular opinion, you begin to give in to what people will say. We don't marry because of what people will say. We don't start a business because of what people will say. We are not buying a particular dress so that people will not think that God is not blessing us. It is not your job to prove to anybody that God is blessing. Your account balance is your business. I say your account balance is your business. So Paul is teaching us here. Alright? Paul is teaching us. Let's look very briefly at other verses. In verse 5, Paul teaches us I hope I'm able to complete this chapter, but if not, all right. For though I'm absent in the flesh, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your order. You see, in the New King James, it says your good order, your orderliness, your corporate lifestyle as a believer, your ability to connect in a local assembly and to be an active part, not just a spectator. God's design is for you, if you are somewhere within the leg region, to be active. God's design is for you, if you are somewhere within the eye region, those are the prophets. You know, they are able to see. Be active. If not that God is speaking to you, you say, I will not see anything. I'll keep quiet. I will let her suffer. When the pastor says, I perceive the Lord is speaking to someone, I say, no. I will not see it. I know my level spiritually. If I talk now, they will begin to look at me. They will ask me to join prayer team. I don't want to join a department. I just want to maintain low profile. It's good. But I'm telling you that there are certain things that are only given to you when your heart is knit together in love. It's in that chapter. See, I observe your order. I observe the way you guys hold your services. I observe the way you love each other. I observe the way you bring correction. I like the way you fight and settle. I like the fact that you guys are not perfect, but you are just doing great. I like the fact that amongst us, we don't need to pray so hard here to marry, because we know who is a Christian and who is not. That's the advantage of being a local church. The brother has been in the music team, you have been in the prayer team, and the day you decide to connect, the issue is not whether he's saved or not. We already know he's saved. The next question is whether he's the one. It's not whether he's born again or not. We already know. Because even when he speaks in tongues on the altar, heaven and hell knows that a prayer warrior has arisen. So it's not about salvation, but he may be a prayer warrior, but be an anointed devil. So we now need to confirm. So it's a second confirmation. That apart from the hope, this prayer is not the only thing you have. Are you a professional boxer? Do you have a family history of people being part of the boxing federation? Your father, your grandfather, well, they used to. Did they fight at the local boxing at Ohafia? We need to check, because the team, even though you are in the prayer team and you are always praying and doing like this, say, but maybe that thing is still there, that fighting spirit. So we need to be sure, because we don't want you to kill our daughter. And sometimes it's not really the brother I should watch out for. I should watch out for the sister. Some sisters are professional fighters. Some sisters, if they lock your shirt, you can't break out. You can't. You just, they hold you, and you just, it is like a supernatural force is holding you. You can't break out. You're just there. You're like, you're holding me. You can't even take yourself out without destroying that shirt. If they hold your bag, your desire, some of you that, you know, all the Louis Vuitton and all those, if they hold, you pull that thing, you just. You have to be wise. So that lady may be in the prayer department. You need to check that it's not because she's a fighter, that she's a member of the prayer. Some people are they love to fight. Fighters, that they are prayer warriors, they are prayer fighters. You need to be sure. Some of them are quiet because they want to get what they are looking for first. When you ask her, how are you doing? You could be with her for 10 minutes, she won't say a word. That's a red flag. Yes! Everybody has something to say. Yeah. You are not quiet. You may not be someone who talks often, but you are not quiet. Yeah. If you are quiet, you won't get that job. Because when they ask you to come to interview, they want to hear your voice. If not, they will use your aptitude test and recruit you. But want to know, maybe your voice is like, it's okay. We'll get back to you. I want to recruit you for customer service. Hello? Alpha. So you can't. We love you. You have a fantastic CV, but you are not the guy we are looking for. Paul said, I behold your order. I behold your order. I'm looking at you guys from where I am. A spiritual father will know if something is wrong. Don't look at you. Something is wrong. Tell your neighbor, you are not quiet too. Let me know where you stand. Maybe you are just doing this now because you want me to marry you. You can stay with her for 30 minutes. She won't say more than three things. And you say, well, I like her. She's very quiet. I'm not there. I've warned you. Marry somebody that talks. You will live long that way. Whether male or female, I'm warning. Okay. Okay. If you don't believe, I will allow the Lord to allow time to explain this thing. So that, but don't call me then and say, Pastor, remember what you said? I didn't say anything. Paul said, I beheld your good order. He said, and I rejoiced when I saw your steadfastness in Christ. Come on, say steadfast. Paul said, I rejoiced when I saw your what? Your steadfast. What's another word for steadfast? Come on, please give me another version. Let's see if there's any other word for this steadfastness. Steadfast. Good discipline. What else do we have? This is amplified. This is a little too much for my face. Okay, still using the word steadfastness. I need another word for steadfast. Steadfast is something that is firm, that is sure. Something that is steadfast. Solid. When I go back to King James or New King James. When I beheld the steadfastness of your faith in the face of persecutions. Consistency. You know, it's one thing to be sinning against God. It's another thing to be justifying it. We had a doctor, a family doctor, Dr. Joseph, is dead now, by the way. He has an ashtray on his desk. And every time my dad takes me to him, he will say, Benga, don't smoke. A day does not fail when I see him, when he approaches me and says, make sure you do not smoke, eat healthy, take apples. But, you know, as a young boy, I always wondered why. I didn't know that the ashtray was from cigarette. But it was always there. Anyway, he's dead. He's dead. It's one thing to be a sinner. But don't get to the point where when you begin to justify or rationalize and say, after, it's not only me. Satan is trying to get all of us to the point through social media and some of these agendas that are going on, these satanic agendas, gay agendas, LGBTQ, ABCDEFGF, and all these guys trying to get us to that point where one day you will just wake up and really, it won't sound strange anymore. In fact, some of us are already there. When you are watching a film and you see a gay scene, are you shocked? You people, you don't watch films like me. If for those of you who are sincere and have watched movies before, those of you that are still telling the truth, do you still get really surprised when you see such? So what is Satan trying to establish? That all of us will get to a point where as believers we agree with the world that holiness is not possible. Please remember what I said. The issue is not that you committed sin. The issue is that the moment you cannot stand and say what I did was wrong, you are now saying things like everybody is doing it. After all, it's because they have not caught you. Who knows what she's doing? Huh? Who knows what the other one is doing? Huh? So you begin to hear strange things. Then are you still here? So what am I saying to you? If Satan gets us to that point, then we are finished. It is the same mindset Satan puts in us. When you are looking at Tobechukwu and you are trying to ask her out, you believe she's God's will. Then talk. Dami goes to her and says, I believe the Lord is leading me in this direction. For while pastor was preaching, I heard a voice, look to the left. And I looked to the left. To the top left. And then I saw her. And you know, she's dressed like a boss lady. So she has her hair full. And so the Lord, it was very easy for you to agree that it was the Lord. Because of the way she's dressed. You can see the skin is nice. You can see this one that takes care of herself. So she has taste. It's not easy, it's not difficult to accept that this is the Lord. Because what I'm saying is, when Eve saw the fruit, that it was pleasing to the eyes. It was pleasing. Before that day, it was not pleasing. But when somebody now explained to her, don't you know who is sitting beside you? That's Tobechukwu. Then you saw that actually, this is pleasing. And then you wanted to pray in tongues. And everything just felt right. Because the fruit was pleasing to the eye. But as you are talking to her, you are talking to joy. Because somewhere in your mind, the world has told us that you cannot depend on one person. So you have to cast your seed. Scatter your seed. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just say yes to a man and close your eyes. Open those eyes. Joy, you are looking at me. You open those eyes. Because some people, there's a Yoruba word, it's called babodi. You know, there's some people, I don't know how to describe that in English. There's no English word for it. It's a destiny matter. But, so Paul said, when I looked at you guys, you are steadfast. The moment you said to somebody, I perceive the Lord is leading me to you, that was it. Are you here? You are steadfast. You are not now perching or palming. There's one game where they palm. Let me face this. I think those that understand how they are here. There's you palm tree. Do you want to explain to us? You palm tree. You know those people that play bet, all these local bet. They are here. You palm. So while you are palming to the left, then you saw Kemi at the back. Then you palm to the back. And you are waiting for who we. Paul said, when I looked at this church, I noticed that they were steadfast. Their yea was yea, and their nay was nay. No matter how beautiful you are, you don't look beautiful every day. Settle it, have peace, move on. As therefore, verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, what is he asking us to do? Walk in him. Most people believed and they received him, but they didn't continue to walk in him. Paul said, based on this doctrine of steadfastness, as many of us, if you are here and you can hear me now, and you are a child of Jesus Christ, you believe in Christ, Paul says you have the responsibility of what? Walking in him. Nobody will do it for you. They walk in him. Walk in him. He gave us certain instructions here. The first instruction he said is for us to walk in him. In other words, this is the practical aspect of our relationship with God individually. The practical aspect. How do I want to serve God? How do I want to be close to God? How do I want to have a functional relationship with God? Do I understand the place of prayer? Do I understand the place of fasting? Do I understand the place of meditating on God's word? Do I have a plan to on how I want to study the Bible in 2023? Do I have a strategy on how I need to engage my relationship with God? It won't just happen. And that's why I thank God for those days we used to study daily manna, all those things. They may not have been very deep, but they gave us discipline. Because a lot of us are able to wake up in the morning and pick you, just follow the date. And the day you did not study, you already know you didn't study. There's no need to, did I say my Bible yesterday? Because it's very clear, you didn't jot, you didn't mark, you didn't highlight anything. You almost, the devil even agrees with you that you didn't study your Bible that day. There's no issue. He said, walk in him. Walking in him refers to every practical step and strategy to living the life of a Christian, your ability to walk in love, your response to crisis. Do you understand? Are you still with me now? So don't look at it in King James language. God does not speak King James. You need to understand, God's interest is understanding. Because there are some people that can't preach except it's King James. It doesn't matter. Just understand what the Bible is saying. The first thing Paul says to us here from verse 6 is that we should walk in him. The second thing is in verse 7. Paul says we should be rooted and built up in him. Now, let's take the word rooted. That's the second thing Paul was saying to us here. The word rooted, what does it suggest? A seed has been planted and is trying to take root deep in the ground. The reason why a plant must take root is so that if there's a storm, or if there is rain, or if there is a threat to the existence of that plant, it has its root so solid like a tree in the ground, you will need a lot of energy to move him doctrinally. Are you here? Come on, are you here? I said your root, which is directly tied to doctrine, what the Bible teaches on every matter. Because some of you only accept the Bible when you are hearing revelation language. When the dimension of the exegesis of the eternal order is synchronized into the third realm, and then the patterns of grace begin to break forth into tributaries. When you begin to hear revelation language, that's the only time you are blessed. You may just be, you and the speaker and the listener may just be deceiving themselves. So hear me. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure you understand what they are saying. And in case you don't understand, come to Harvest for next Sunday. We try to keep it simple. And if you think I preach like this because I don't understand tributaries we left it when we realized people were not growing. People knew a lot of things, but they were making stupid decisions. A brother came to me. He said the Lord called him to ministry after praying 6 hours every day for 40 days. Come on, say 6 hours. Every day for 40. Say some days were 8, 10 hours. You know, when somebody talks like the first, you just like, you said you are not praying like that too. Like, I'm actually watching a season now. Then the guy came to me and said, you know, I just need your counsel. I want to step out into ministry. So I wrote a book. So I'm going to publish the book before you enter into ministry. I developed it for him, but I realized it was a book. So I'm going to publish it online. Sellers.com. Go and buy. For those of you that have ministry, you go and check. In case after then you still want to be a minister of God. Number one, it's a lonely life. Everybody believe you have, but you hungry may be wiring your head. And yeah, God told you must not ask. And then say, Father, Father, it's like the antenna is getting weaker and weaker. God can't hear you because. So before you marry that, maybe I should write on that book, before you marry that man of God. So I will still explain some things there. Because what some people call ministry is microphone and stage. It's not work. There's a work of the ministry. There's no work of the stage. I said there's a work of the ministry. No work of the stage. What people call ministry is stage. And what people call music ministry is sound. And hype. So I told the brother, I said, you want to go into ministry? I said, your wife, you married her not because you really loved her. You married her because the pastor told you she's the one you should marry. They've been having issues. So he mentioned that thing, that just to be sure, because they taught them spiritual covering in the church. But the pastor did not explain to them the limit of his own power and their own. So pastor is the one choosing wives. Very young guy, very sharp, intercessor. But it was the pastor that told him, marry her. That's God's will. He now obeyed the pastor. Married her. So every day is fight. And I told him, I said, this is where Satan will destroy you from. Number one, you are wrongly matched. But she's now the will of God, though. You cannot leave her again. You see, it's painful. Because sometimes we teach certain things and people take it out of context. Does God want you to have spiritual covering? Do you have the doctrinal basis for that statement? Because we throw words, but we don't understand the reason why we believe those things biblically. Do you know that the ministry of Paul would have been nullified if Peter did not ratify his doctrine? Was it Peter that led Paul to Christ? Was it Peter that laid hands on him to be filled? Was it Peter that taught Paul the doctrine he was teaching? Paul said, I received it by revelation when he was on the island, in a desert. 3 years. Studying. He said the Lord came and taught him the things he's teaching. He said, I didn't get it from anywhere. But after he was done, God said, yeah, go to Jerusalem. He now needed somebody that could say they know him. Because the last they knew about him was that this is the Shekau that was killing everybody in the church. So no, who, you want to stand for Shekau? You believe? You do you believe Shekau can be saved? Huh? Barnabas, you believe? Ah, me, I cannot go with you because if the man attack us on the road, it's good to say Paul has given his life to Christ, but can you stand for him? So that's the reason why your integrity as a member of the church must be very solid, so that the day you need someone to sign reference, they will not be playing kite with your destiny. Eh? You've not learned to serve. Eh? You've not learned to serve. Yet you want somebody to sign that they know you are a person of good conduct. Is it by faith or by reality? Because I really don't understand. By the time Paul got all that revelation, you know, Peter doesn't talk. Did you see all the thing Paul has been writing? Now imagine that Paul is here and he wants to teach us. He will tell us no praise worship. Let me start early. He will start from 8 and finish 6 p.m. Look at how bogus his writings are. Now imagine that Paul has to talk. And Paul told us in the scriptures that he is not a fantastic speaker. So you can be in Paul's meeting and snore. Paul preached in a meeting and a man fell and died. That's how anointed he was. So to think that a man is anointed or called because of how fantastic the way he speaks is an error. You have started making an error already in your ministry. To invite somebody to come and preach simply because I got a word in my spirit. I got a word. Just calm down and talk. You're going to be drinking lots of water. Just calm down. That's not the way you talk. Just be yourself. It's called preaching language. I got a word. I got to hit your neighbor high and say, I got a word. At the end of the day, the Lord required Paul to take his doctrine to Peter. Apostle Peter, our first pope. So now say, okay. Yeah. I will just add one thing. They should not offer to idols. Peter did not say, because it's the Lord that gave him, I should not add anything. Peter added. Where are you? He added. Now we the wrong things here. I was with him when he died. I was with him when he said, feed my sheep. Bring your doctrine. Red Bible. Add this one. Oh yeah, go and rewrite it. These three things, I want to see it. Chapter 2. Literature review. So the doctrine of spiritual covering is real. But there's a limit also. There's a limit. You have to marry right. So that I won't still have to be playing husband after you marry. Because you have an irresponsible husband. So once we join you, I will hand you over and say, this is now your pastor, your husband. I will hand him over to you. I'm still your pastor, but this is the first pastor. So be doing Bible study, be doing everything. And once in a while, I'll be checking on you. Say, help me, God. Paul said, be rooted. Before you go upwards, go down. The reason why we go on retreat is so that we can later advance. Take root. The reason why we are fasting is to take root. The reason why we are going on, sometimes you go on fasting just to study the word, not to pray, just to study the word. And you are taking root. You are taking root. Taking root. So that the day a challenge comes against your faith in Christ, you will have some arsenals to respond. Because you can, speaking about maritally, there are some ladies you, now some of you will lie, but I know these people here, they don't lie. There are some ladies you see, they are not born again. But you know, you just feel like, I can marry this one. Eh? Do you know what? Do you have a, okay, somebody here, do you understand what I'm saying? You just, they are so perfect. Height, skin, style, dress. You just tell yourself, even if she's from Cameroon, you will go and learn French. You will go and learn French. That this one, you must marry. That she's the one. Because she's like a signature card. Anywhere you go. And they say, let's welcome Bishop Bing, I shall say, oh, is this your wife? Say, why? Even the person say, wow. The person cannot even say, he has to caution himself, because I won't go and say rubbish. You see, because it's wild. But when you are established in Christ, and your root has taken deeply in the, found a root firm in the earth, you can now say, okay, she's my kind of girl, but she's not born again. It's root that will determine that one. If not, you say, there's nobody God cannot save. There's nobody. Who knows who will be a Christian tomorrow? This God, then you can't predict him. This God, if you know what Jesus can do, he can save, he can even save you on the road to Damascus. Why? Because you saw Vivian. So what will you say when you see Cassandra? Or Cinderella? Or Melinda? You are lost. Otisonu, you are lost. You are lost. Anything yellow, you are lost. You are lost. Your name is about to be deleted from the book of life. And you don't know. You are lost. Come on now. Paul said, be rooted. And then later what? Built up. Up in what? In him. He said, built up in him. Paul said, walk in him. Be rooted in him. And built up in him. Your spirit gains ascendancy, takes root, and takes up. Built up. You become the picture of a matured Christian. Now, when God wants to recommend, then he can say, follow her as she follows me. If you don't understand the Bible, follow Vivian, follow Joy, follow Tobechukwu, follow Buki. Because she has molded something that can be followed. She may not even be a pastor. She may not be a preacher. But she's a child of God that is being built up. And I explained something to us last Sunday about being built up. Do you remember? How do you build up your faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one of the confirmed ways to be built up. So while you lay hold on revelation, the word of God comes at the administration of faith. Faith comes when the word of God is administered. But the allocation that was given to you may require fanning. You may need to fan the flame. You may need to work on that. Go into more study of the word. Go into more dimensions and deeper levels of prayer. And you can even take it further by praying in the spirit. My time is up. This is a very beautiful chapter. But I encourage you to read the whole thing, read the whole book. If you understand the book of Colossians, you will understand the book of Hebrews. So next year, 2 years ago, I told you we are going to pray. That, you know, 2 years ago. This year, I told us we are going to listen to the word. And we've done that. Alright? Next year, we'll combine the two. Hallelujah. So that means there are services we'll come for on Sunday. And there will be no praise worship. Okay. Leave it in SA. All the choir members will join the congregation. We'll remove the seat. Then we'll pray for 1 hour. Or 1.5 hours. Then hear the word of God for 1.5 hours. So help you God. Go and buy camo or jeans. Because next year. I feel like I may have to continue here, but I'm not too sure. But let's lay it here. And I'll close with one verse. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him, this is the reason, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus, because some people are asking, you see them asking, those people of the other religion, where is it that they say Jesus is Son of God? Jesus is more than the Son of God. You understand? That's old level. The Bible says, in that mortal flesh, the full weight of God's reality, it was consummated in one human flesh. and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He was a life carrier. He got the Spirit without measure. Filled to the overflowing. He was filled. He was all of God in one body. The fullness of God the Father, the invincible nature of God, was consummated in one man. That's more than the Son of God. If he talks, the Father has spoken. There's nothing he says that God will change. That's a lot to process. And he warned us in verse 8. Give me verse 8. Because of verse 9, he tells us not to allow anybody cheat us. The word there is cheat. What does it mean to cheat? Somebody tries to takes away your advantage, take something that belongs to you, take away something that is of immense value. Somebody tries to take away the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He takes them away from you and sells something. But how do they do it? Is it by coming and saying I'm Satan? No. Look at what the scripture says. They cheat you through philosophy. They come and tell you the philo and sophia. Then you bring it together and you form philosophy. They tell you that Socrates said. They talk to you about the 48 laws of power. They talk to you about smart things. He said, be careful so that no man will cheat you out of your reward through philosophy and empty deceit. So you need to watch out for deceitful spirit. When you talk to somebody, let your spirit be hearing them. Because many times they are lying. Nobody tells you the truth. They tell you the version of what they think you can undo. People don't really tell you the truth. They only tell you what they think you can undo. People don't tell you the truth. They only tell you what they feel can. It's when you now begin to probe, they'll say, hey, I forgot to tell you. Before that time, something actually happened. They now begin to micromanage you. Paul says, be careful of them. He said, according to the traditions of men, this is how we do it. In our family, before you marry, you must eat one particular meal. There's one food we are going to cook for you before you give birth. If you don't eat that food, your baby, you might have challenge with giving birth. Paul says, watch out for the traditions of men. You must wear white on your wedding day. As a lady. Traditions of men. You must wear a three-piece suit. You cannot wear native, Brother Marcus. Today is your day of joy. Traditions of men. You must invite a lot of people to your wedding. And then, oh, many people. And after your wedding, they'll be looking for you to collect their money. The traditions of men. This is the way we have been doing it in this church. Tradition of men. That destroy your faith. They make you weak. Your faith begins to lack power. Nobody marries outside this tribe in our family. Why did you live in them, Nili? And you went to Ohafia. We don't relate. Nobody does this here. We don't marry light-skinned women. Traditions of men. He said, according to the basic principles of this world, you need to have a master's degree and a PhD to do well in life. Lie. You need to package yourself so that people can see you and appreciate you. You need to fake it till you make it. You need to move to Lekki and begin to live somewhere around Lekki phase one. So when they ask you where you say, just wave one finger and say phase one. There's only one phase one, though. Any other phase one is a lie. There is any other phase one. Come on, any other phase one. My time is up. Any other phase one. Any other phase one? Some of you, your area is even called phase one, but you know your own phase one is fake. Your area has phase one. Say phase one. Basic principles. This is the way you have to arrange yourself. If not, nobody will take you serious. Basic principles. Everything cannot be straight. You have to be wise. If not, you will not make it. Nobody is genuinely rich. You have to do something somewhere. And you know as a Christian, the Holy Spirit says no. Come and say the Holy Spirit says no. You cannot. You want to be a Christian, you can't do everything. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to do everything. It's not even a matter of your choice. It will prepare you. You will not be able to sleep. You will not be able to sleep. Some of you don't know, the Holy Spirit you have is that one from Lekki. That is always nice, that blink, blink, blink. The Holy Spirit is from Lekki. If you get the original one, follow come. If you get the original one, the original Holy Spirit, it will not take your, it will shut you down. You will lose your peace. I said you will lose your joy. You won't be able to sleep. This Holy Spirit that all of us control and we put in our pocket. Today. Say shout hallelujah. The Holy Spirit that came to church and killed a couple while Peter was ministering. Killed them. Said then told them to take the body out. He didn't take the body out for them. Take the body out. Paul said, don't allow anybody to cheat you. Every time they are making a lot of effort to convince you, just know there is something they are trying to take out of your life. If the person has to talk too much, it's not real. I want to show you how I make 10 million naira in 3 months. This is a master course, but we are going to be paying 20,000 naira for this program. 20,000, 10 million. It doesn't make sense, so. If I really know how to make 10 million, I won't tell you. I'll just change all my agbadas and be sitting in front on Sunday. And when the choir is singing, holy, I see, change the song. Jesus, the miracle worker. Miracle worker is the miracle worker. Miracle worker. Because I just want to tell people, I love praise. You start it like, oh, I love praises. I love the praise section of the service, my best. I like to dance and roll before God. You have not said, tell us the real reason why you are sitting in front. Jesus, a miracle worker, a miracle. You say, Pastor, I gotta be honest. For me, I like dancing. Any church where they are not dancing. I said, I know your problem. Shechem. Shechem is in your heart. He said, do not. My time is up. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? Don't allow anyone to deceive you. Give him glory for the word you have heard.